Shekayach for those of you who are lach lecha. You know, we said lach lecha and you came. Yep. Shekayach to you. Torah in motion. Okay. So, I was thinking that when it comes to parshas lach lecha, you know, there's really only one mitzvah. You know, the chinuch identifies bris mila as the mitzvah coming from parshas lach lecha. And in fact, last year the shir was on inyanei mila. But the truth is that if you look at the story, the narrative of Lech Lecha, there's actually a lot of other things that are very, very important. So, for example, 2 years ago, we spoke about the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, on this parsha. Even though, to the extent that the Ramban thinks that there is a mitzvah daraisa from the Torah for mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, and it's not from parsha Lech Lecha, right? That's not the psukim that the Ramban is quoting. Nevertheless, we spoke about it on this parsha, again, is kind of the style of the shir. We're connecting it in that sense to the narrative of the parsha. So more in vain of that shir from 2 years ago, I wanted to speak about conversion in parsha Lech Lecha here. And again, it's not that there's some mitzvah or some specific detail about conversion, certainly or halachos of conversion in the parsha. And yet, from one of the famous psukim in Rashi and Midrashim, we do know that one of the central elements about Avraham's career, his pre-Yitzchak career, very much related to, although we'll have to see exactly to what extent it really was, but at least a facsimile of, if not literally, being the first, you know, mass kiruv worker, and more than that, you know, mass converter or gerus person. The pasuk tells us that in pasuk hey, right in the beginning of the parsha, that Avram was married and he took Sarai, his wife, and he also had his nephew Lot, that's Karuch Husham and all of their great property. Again, he's answering Hashem's call of Lech Lecha, start going on your journey. And what else did he take? That's Hanefesh Asher Osu B'Charan, the soul in singular, which he had made in Charan. What exactly does that mean? Says Rashi, it's referring to his students who he had converted. Sheikh Nisum, says Rashi, Tachas Kanfei Hashchina. He had brought them under the, so to speak, the wings, or the canopy of the Shechina. Avram Megayeres HaAnoshim, V'Sara Megayeres Es HaAnoshim. And Avram converted the men, Sarai the women, Umala Aleihem HaKasuf Ki'ilu Asa'um. And that's to a certain extent where the singular Lashon comes in. It's as if they made them, which is interestingly a parallel to the famous Maimer Chazal about converts themselves, that a ger is Kekatan HaNola Dame. It's like a rebirth. So if you put the two Mamari Chazal together, if converting is like a rebirth on some figurative level, so too, obviously, the one who has, if you have a primary hand in facilitating a geirus, it's as if ki'ilu asa'um, says Chazal here, it's as if you, in a certain sense, are their parent. This Rashi is a paraphrase of a Maimar Chazal, which is in two places. It's in Bereishis Rabbah, Parakalamites, as well as in the Yalkut Shimoni on our Parsha and Remez Samach Vav, that Avram and Sarai were involved in Geirus. At least that's the language that is used here. Now, it happens to be, I can't for the life of me remember who asked me, but someone just asked me. I can't remember if it was Shabbos Mincha last week or maybe it was after one of the Minchas during the week here. Somebody asked me, so what happened to all of them? Lots of people think about it. Someone just recently asked me. So it's interesting. What I answered to them is in essence what I did not know then until preparing tonight's shir. But there's a tshuva of the Maharit. Again, I don't know if there's others who talk about it, but at least for this year I found what I did not yet previously know. There's a tshuva of the Maharit. And he says, in fact, that while it's true that they were gerim, he says they resorted back. Now, I don't know. Again, I said when the person asked me, I wasn't necessarily sure that the Talmidim, so to speak, themselves, but at least their children, or eventually, kind of like a Yishmael or an Esev, they didn't make it. They didn't make it. I didn't necessarily think themselves, perhaps it was their children, it didn't pass to the next generation, but the Maharit seems to say that they themselves, whatever, and it sounds like if you look at the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, when the Rambam traces the history of monotheism, and he talks about some of the Midrashim of the history of Avram himself, parenthetically, we're more often familiar or taught that Avram found and recognized Hashem at what age? Three. There are other Midrashim, which in fact the Rambam thinks are more normative. The Rambam says it was when he was 40. But the bottom line is the Rambam talks about thousands, if not millions of people that Avram and Sarai converted. And the Maharit seems to say, certainly about their families, but even perhaps even about them, that they resorted back. And here is the Chiddush. The Marit says, and perhaps this will be a little bit of a segue to the next part of the shir, the Marit says that by them resorting back to their misguided ways, they, I don't know, deconverted, so to speak. And to the extent that we can, and we will talk about this more in depth shortly, but to the extent that we could use the term, they became Jewish by converting, even though it wasn't really a meaningful term at that stage of history, but to the extent that they converted, meaning they went from, we'll call it, Gentile to Jew, just because we have no other terms to use, those are what we're familiar with, the categories, says Marit, when they slouched back, to worshipping idols, for example, they also deconverted. Now, what's striking about this is a Beferish, a Gemara, and a Halacha, which we paskin in Shulchan Aruch, which has ramifications, unfortunate, tragic ramifications, but ramifications all the time, is that a ger, the Gemara says, that's chozer l'suro, we would say in the yeshiva, plibes a ger. You can't, once you're a Jew, you don't get out of it. If I'm not mistaken, someone correct me who's perhaps more up on these cultural trends, didn't that happen to Laura Schlesinger recently? The famous talk show host? Right, she made a whole career being a big, strong right-winger, you know, very conservative, and I think she decided at some point it was too much for her. She's out of it. She caused all this trouble, and
she wasn't treated well. They didn't support her.
Who, the Jewish community didn't? The liberal Jewish community or the Orthodox Jewish community? I don't know, whatever. Anyway, the point is, I don't know what she's doing now. I wish her well. But the point is, it doesn't help. Assuming she had a real gayrus. I don't know anything about her actual gayrus. Oh, so this is what I want to talk about a little bit, Myron.
Everyone, I mean, not one person remained. I mean, every person was Magaya.
Again, that's why I shouldn't say comfortable, but my instinct is slightly different, which is that any Chalami, some of them may have, you know, so to speak, died still loyal to Avram, loyal to Hashem, but still they didn't go to Dor Sheni, and if it went to Dor Sheni, it didn't go to Dor Shlishi.
Also, Rabbi Fran spoke about this one year. Yeah. Yitzchak just didn't have the same personality.
So that's interesting. Just like there's this ambivalent. It's much more striking here, there, but there's some of this, you know, this ambivalent sense in Chazal how to treat Noach. Right? Not that many people does the Torah say tzaddik tamim, and yet Chazal, you know, this is the cliche, the Jewish joke, always looking to find problem and criticism. So it's to a lesser extent, but it is true about Yitzchak. To a lesser extent, it's true about Yitzchak. You have Mefarshim, whether it's in Chazal, or, you know, talking about, again, how in what ways he wasn't his father, so to speak. And this tradition, you know, that you said Rabbi Fran was referring to fits in with that. So it's possible that part of the reason, you know, to the extent that, you know, and we have this, frankly, in our own day, whether it's in Kiruv or even for that matter in yeshivas, right, sometimes part of it is a cult of personality. And it's very hard sometimes to maintain things when the personality moves or is gone. And maybe, I don't know, I'm not sure which Mepharshim Rabbi Fran is referring to, but maybe that's an element here. Is that part of why it couldn't be sustained was, at least for the next generations, was it didn't have the same charismatic leader. But we'll have to confirm with our friend about that. Yeah.
Can we just call these students monotheists?
Well, that was what Myron said. That's what I want to get to. But it is worth noting, again, the Lashon of this Medrash is Megayer. It is Megayer. Huh? Well, this is the topic for tonight. Both of you, perfect, beautiful, Shkaya. As if we planned it. As we rehearsed it just yesterday. Yes, exactly what I want to talk about. So first of all, just as one more Mila de Hagdama, the Maharit quotes, just, and again, so we are talking about this pasuk of Nefesh HaShe'asu B'charon, and that's going to be our segue to Geiris. Just worth noting, the Maharit quotes a famous Gemara, which I'm not sure I understand, but a very famous Gemara nonetheless, from Avodah Zarah on Daf Tes, which speaks about the world being 6,000 years, but dividing it up into three groups, right? There's Shnayim Alfei Tohu, there's Shnayim Alfei Torah. What's the third Alfei? Mashiach, right? Is that the third one? Right. So, where does Torah start? Is that according to that Gemara? The 2,000 years of Torah begin when?
When he was 52.
Our Pasuk!
Right.
Our Pasuk! That's the Pasuk that the Gemara of Avodah Zarah quotes. So apparently there is that, again, there's no Matan Torah yet. It's interesting. Again, if I'm not mistaken, the Chazon Ish has a famous essay where he discusses that. It's a very difficult Gemara to understand. But be that as it may, the Torah...
He was born in 1948.
Well, okay, yeah, that's... It's not Isha Torah here. I don't know the codes and who was born when and all those kind of things, all those cute kunsum. the point is that the Gemara there does quote, and the Marit wants to point out that you see from that apparently, and again, a little bit getting to where there was some level of a Kabbalah Satorah then. Because again, there was no Torah yet. The Gemara calls the generation there of Avram as quote-unquote Torah. So perhaps, again, just like we're a little bit uncomfortable talking about converts to Judaism then, it's hard to know what it means really by Torah, unless all of that is a code word for ethical monotheism. And it may very well be. I'm not against that, frankly. But again, it's just it's worth noting. Okay. So let's start off. There's basically the larger issue, which you both of you have already raised. I want to attack it or get to it based on the comments, really, of two achronim, in particular, Vachon and Wasserman, as they focus not so much even yet on Avraham's students, but on Avraham himself. Rekiva Eger quotes what's really a Ramban, but, you know, as a yeshiva guy, sometimes you find out about a Ramban al Torah through Rekiva Eger. And Rekiva Eger, the Ramban does say it, Rekiva Eger says that, in essence, Avraham became Jewish through his Mila in our Parsha. The Milas Avraham made Avraham Jewish. Now, we alluded to this last week, and I don't want to get into the full-blown discussion tonight either, of this, you know, massive discussion, primarily in Achronim, about what the status of the Avos was, Kodam Matan Torah. But it's interesting as a nuance that the Ramban does seem to have this notion of Avram not being Jewish, but yet he has a notion of Avram becoming Jewish, which is obviously, you know, pre-Matan Torah. In other words, usually the discussion is all or nothing, pre-Matan Torah and post-Matan Torah. Whereas the Ramban has a line, in case you want to take a look, it's at the end of Emor in Perek Chav Dalid Pasuk Yud, that's the Ramban. And the Rekiva Eger quotes and endorses this idea. I say that as a hakdama to what I really want to focus on, which is Rabbi Chanan Wasserman. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman in the Kovet Shurim on Baba Basra is part of a larger discussion. For those of you familiar with the Sefer Kovet Shurim, I'm convinced it's not a coincidence to its popularity. Most of the pieces are short. It's more, if you will, insightful or pithy comments. It's not long essays. This is one of the longer pieces, but it's not that long either, but it's a longer piece by Rav Chanan's standards. And he makes a similar point, but I think he's saying something actually different. And that is that he says, he not only did he talk about Avraham here, but he talks about the larger issue of Geirus, and then he uses that as a question against the conversion of all of these students. And this will get to the point that you guys have been making until now. Rav Chanan has the following yisod, which, again, if we were having broader Geirus discussions, there's a lot to talk about here. Rav Chanan says the following yisod, that the essence of Geirus is not just kabbalas ha-mitzvos, accepting mitzvos as a lifestyle, but it's the hosafas mitzvos. So if you were a non-Jew and you had seven mitzvos, your kabbalas ha-mitzvos, I already had a kabbalas mitzvos, maybe I'm even a ger toshav, but it's a kabbalah which now adds mitzvos. That's the tangible improvement, so to speak, or step up that you're making, which concretizes the Geirus and everything from that flows. Therefore, says Rabbi Chanan, in what sense, and this is where it's similar to that Ramban or Rekiva Eger, in what sense was Avraham a Ger? Because until now, he didn't have whatever he had accomplished. He had found God maybe even at 3, let's say, or at 40. Either way, it's before this, before he has to do Mila in our Parsha. In those years, wherever he wasn't fully the Avram Avinu that we know and revere. When he had the Bris Mila, says Rabbi Chanan, because that is an additional mitzvah, who said it has to be 606 additional mitzvahs? It's one additional mitzvah, but there's an additional mitzvah, and in that, in so doing, Avram didn't just fulfill a mitzvah, he didn't just pass one of his nisyonos, he became a ger. And again, Rabbi Chanan doesn't just make this as a statement, he then uses that as a paradigm, that that's the essence of gerus, accepting an additional corpus of mitzvos. In a sense, yeah. Again, I assume it has to be more than that, but he does, as we'll see in a moment, he does take very literally the quantitative notion. And therefore, he asks Akasha, in what sense can Chazal, that we started with, say that Avram and Sarai had all of these successful millions of converts? What did these which extra mitzvos did all of these nefashos and Haran become obligated in, to which we can say they were at X, and now they're X at least plus one, so now they're a ger. Says, after all, says Rabbi Chanan, it's not like they became obligated in Mila. After all, the Rambam, Paskins, and Hilchos Malachim, that the Pasuk in our Parsha, which speaks about how Avram will have Mila, and it's not just for Avram, it's for his descendants. It's Dafka, the family of Avram. In fact, that's why one of the other topics that sometimes people speak about in Parshas Lech Lecha, well, what about B'nai Keturah? But the point is, so that's already, that just shows, that's a discussion. How wide of Avram's family do you want to, maybe he's only Keturah from the Yishmael. But it's only Avram's family. It seems it's Kimat Beferish in the Torah, and the Rambam paskens that way. That the other people in that generation were not Chayv and Mila. It was a until Matan Torah, it was a specific thing, which is if you're from base Avram Avinu in the literal sense, you're from his family, you're a grandson, you're a great-grandson, you're a triple grandson, great-grandson, you're Chayv. And if you're not, you're not. And Rabbi Chanan assumes that to be true. And therefore he says, so in what sense did all these things, people become Gerim?
Before they had nothing, now they had
Sheva
Mitzvahs.
Who said? What mitzvahs? What Sheva Mitzvahs?
Well, that's
who said there's Sheva Mitzvahs now?
That's what they accepted.
Who said? What, there's no Gemara that says that. There's no Medrash that says that.
I mean, you have to say it.
Alan says it. Okay, no, I'm not trying to give you a hard time.
You have to say they did something.
The Rabbi Chanan assumes that they did not, and there was no Sheva Mitzvahs. That's all. There was. If there's no Matan Torah, why should the Goyim have seven? We didn't have 6 or 13, but they had 7?
Yeah, well, the B'nai Noah. In other words, before
who said that they had? Who said those? Who said that those? First of all, who said that those were as a unit then? And who said that that's what they that what they accepted? Let me put it to you this way: do you assume that? Although we will see, perhaps that it's true, but it's a chiddush. I don't know if you really mean this, but let's just point out what you really are saying, Alan, is that to accept Shevet, there's like two dinim and goyim. Right, I'm a guy with Asher, and I don't just mean in terms of my performing. That's of course true. The more, if you don't keep the Shemitah, you know, you're not as good as someone who did. But are you like now super guy? Right, I'm still a non-Jew, but I've converted to being a different. Would you call it a conversion if you accept Shemitah?
Under Jewish law, you get a different status. You get a
okay, so you're so okay. So what I want, you're suggesting that to be a Ger Toshav, Ger there is a meaningful term. It's a type of Gerus.
Right.
So I would say, first of all, it's a chiddush in Ger Toshav, but it so happens, Alan, we will agree with you later in the shir. But I still, what I don't agree with you still is that there's no evidence that that's what happened here. Well, that's my point, which is why Alan's saying, but even though they're goyim, there's a super status like 1A and 1B.
Right.
But I'm saying, so even if you, no, again, better in terms of their behavior is true. That's not controversial. That's a fact.
But, I mean, if Avram taught him anything, what did he teach them?
So Pashtus, no. The Pashtus is he taught them to believe in God and to not, you know, act like chayas maybe. But the core, the technical Shevet Zvei Noach, and I don't know if that's true.
Basic,
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
The Gemara quotes Makoros, which predate Matan Torah. That's true. That's where in Sanhedrin, where it looks like Psukim for the Sheva Mitzvos. But when did that come into play as a separate mini corpus of Mitzvos? I would assume at Matan Torah. Why before? Why should they have to have their 7 before we were obligated in our 613? This is Rabbi Chanan's question. So in what sense, again, we speak about these millions of converts, says Rabbi Chanan, how could they convert? They didn't add any Mitzvos. You mean in the Dorama before this? Not Shevet Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. Not Shevet Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. Well, either Gezel and or Arayos, right? Different
B'nai Shem, the B'nai Shechem.
Okay, that's subsequent. You mean that's the it is before yes, and you're yes, exactly. So that's actually I take that back. Really, that does relate. It wasn't my plan topic, but it's good. It's a very good discussion nonetheless. That really, I have to refine my answer perhaps to Louis a minute ago, because that's the famous machlokas between Rambam and the Ramban about, you know, what would, you know, the children of Yaakov did the Shechem.
Right.
So if you take a look at that Ramban there, and the Rambam is a big machlokas, which of the Sheva Mitzvahs by Noach were they over? So again, it's not clear at all that Shechem knew about this, but it is clear that whichever one of it was, but Yaakov assumed that they should have known about it, and therefore they were liable, at least l'shitaseinu, for not keeping it. That's an interesting point. I had not put these two sugyas together. So I have to think about that a little more. I'm not sure. Now, we're about to reject this Rabbi Chanan anyway. I don't want to bend over too backwards to defend it, but it's he certainly assumes that they were no extra mitzvah they became obligated in. And if you don't, again, the easiest thing to say is what I did say, but easy doesn't always make it right, which is that you either have something that always existed or you have Matan Torah. So maybe the answer is that there was something in the middle beforehand, but I'm not sure what that is. We'd have to really try to figure that out. Offhand, I don't really know what that would be. So, I saw in a sefer that Joey told me about, the Chavetz HaSharon, that he asks, beside the questions that you guys are asking, which are good questions, I'm trying to defend Rav Chanan a little bit, but these are definitely good questions, he asks a different question, which is certainly is good or better against the Rav Chanan. He says, Rav Chanan's focusing, well, Avram had the Milah, and all these students didn't have the Milah. What about all the females? And better than that, you'll say, okay, maybe they also weren't. Sarah herself? Are you going to assume that, whatever, it doesn't mean Jewish necessarily the way you and I mean Jewish, but whatever that status was, that Ramban and Rabbi Kiv Eger and Rabbi Chan are assuming that Avraham achieved through Mila, so what about Sarah? That's nice, that's very nice, but not relevant. So he says, as he puts it, you know, and it's a strong term, he says, the Divrei Kovich Yomar Maraf Sinigra, they don't make sense. How could it be? If you assume that that's the only thing that that made Avraham who he was, so then not only does that not help for the students, okay, no, forget the students.
When
doesn't help
for their son. Remember the study
of yes, but it doesn't. It doesn't help for Sarah herself. Again, I would say that is a parallel. That's a similar. I would call it a cousin of the point that the others were making about Shem Zvei Noach. And again, I would say, in the formal sense, I'm still assuming that those didn't exist and they weren't obligated. There is a notion, we know that Avram and his Yashrus, and there even Ma'amar Chazal speak about, that's what he kind of gave over to them, but all of that is much more vague. The only thing that seems to be unimpeachable is that he taught them ethical, you know, basic monotheism. They went from idol worshippers to, you know, monotheists. Beyond that, I think we're all a little bit, you know, on speculative ground. Which is what?
They had the Bris Mila. They had became something above.
Who said?
They had something above everybody else.
Who said?
Eliezer, the Abbot of
I don't know what he had. That's exactly the Rav Chanan's question.
Eliezer had an obligation to make a shvua to get Rivka.
Yeah.
Right? So what obligated him?
A shvua? That's not necessarily halachic shvua. I don't know if that's true. Why?
Why not?
Huh? And therefore what? I'm saying, again, there's a dramatic. See, I'm not the notion in any society that you know that there are oaths and you have to keep your word. You don't need the Torah for that, and you still don't need the Hilchos Shavuos and Hafla and the Darim for that. Listen, you're well a few parshas ahead of me, right? I'm not going to talk about that story. But there's no mucker anywhere that they again in the general scheme of things, you certainly assume that Eliezer wasn't just one of these millions of students. He was the star student. Gizum to hate. Rabbi Chanan is asking on the whole group. Yeah. And again, the two things. First of all, I don't know what she knew and she didn't know. But second of all, she wasn't obligated. And again, in that sense, who said she was obligated in these things? And again, it's also even the mitzvahs, even the Marmar Chazal about Avraham, that he even kept Erev Tavshilin. So that's all post this. So again, Rabbi Chanan has no problem because Avraham became that. But I don't know which Marmar he doesn't have any Marmar Kamos against him when it comes to, again, he doesn't talk about Sarai. And again, it's this Sefer Chavos HaShor, I want to give credit where credit is due, who asks. So again, he would agree with us, but we assume, of course, that Sarai was. But according to the Rabbi Chanan's definition, how did that happen? So he quotes, interestingly, let's move on a little bit, because I don't want to be hung up so much on it since we're about to disagree with it. Okay.
Just
to clarify, Avraham became a ger, according to this understanding, in his 50s, when he had his bris milah. So subsequent to that, you kick in those marmakamas. He wasn't keeping the Erev Tavshilin beforehand, even if you take those midrashim literally, which is his own question, but even this assume you do. That happened subsequent. But the point is, says Rabbi Chanan, he doesn't have a problem with that. His point, again, his problem was, what about all the other students? Who said they did it? There's no indication that they did. So, that's not a question on Rabbi Chanan. It's not even a question on me. That's just a powerful question, period. Yeah. Well, I mean, again, that relates to what I just mentioned before. Is how do you understand these Ma'amari Chazal? Was he learning Tzosin?
Learned Daf Yomi twice.
14 years. How do you know he was only doing one daf a day? Maybe he only did Omud Yomi. Why you're writing, right? Yeah, making shit up with Eliezer's daughter. Yeah, I don't know. Right? Okay. Good. Yeah, but that is one of the classic, for years of my life, I've been, you know, struggling to understand that Maamar Chazal. I don't have an answer tonight. What does that mean? I don't know. I'm admitting my ignorance. How do we know when the Sefer Torah was written? From where? We don't really know. Who says? All I'm trying to get you to do, which is what I'm trying to do, is just we should be more grounded. We have to know from what where we're coming and what we a lot of this stuff we don't know. We just have to be honest. And again, it's hard to know which midrashim to take always so literally. Let's move on. I enjoyed the discussion, but let's cover a little bit ground now. So. This Sefer Chavetz Chaim, he does a nice job of quoting a few different Marmakomos, I'll mention some of them, which seem to very strongly indicate not just away from Rabbi Chanan's explanation of this story of Avram and his students, but again, beyond the larger issues that I want to focus on for a moment, this idea that Geiris, the sine qua non of Geiris is extra mitzvos, and that there can't be Geiris without it. So for example, he points out that the Griz al-Hachumish on the Torah mentions that there's a Rashi in Sota, on Daf Yud Beis Amid Beis, which when it talks about in Sefer Shmos, when the Bas Parah went out to the river where she found Moshe, what was she doing in the river? So Rashi says she was Tova Legeris. Now, was she obligated in any mitzvos? What mitzvos did she become obligated in? Again, there was no Torah then. What was she being obligated in? All of a sudden, she was lighting Shabbos candles after that? The Griz assumes not. The Briskerov assumes not. And therefore, what you see from this is that there is a notion of Geiris even before Matan Torah, before mitzvos. And in terms of our point, it appears that there is a notion of Geiris without extra mitzvos. Again, we don't understand what about these Talmidim? Have they become Geirim if they don't have extra mitzvos? Elamai, you see, here's an example, perhaps where it could happen even later in history. Or another one, and just to point out, by the way, this he doesn't say, but I want to add, that even these Mar Makomas, well, I'll get back, let me... one more thing first. Another Maramakom, and this now gets back to Alan's point before about Gertoshev, so the Rabbeinu Gershom, which is on the side of the page in Masechta Krisus, see, he assumes that a Gertoshev is a Miktsas Geirus. Again, a Gertoshev, just for those who aren't familiar, Gertoshev just means a non-Jew who's keeping the Shemitz of Bnei Noach. Now, it is true, just as an addition, that the Rambam holds that it's not sufficient for them to just keep them. They have to be doing it because they know that Hashem, the God of the Jewish people, wants them to do it. And it may even be true that they have to have a formal Kabbalah from a Beis Din. That is not as obvious in the Rambam. But the point is the Rambam makes it clear that they are not Mechasidei HaOmos HaOlam, perhaps not even Mechachmehem. That's a big discussion. It's a famous machlokas in the girsa of that Rambam. If they are Mechachmehem or they're not even Mechachmehem. But one thing for sure, says the Rambam, this is explicit, they're not Mechasidei HaOmos HaOlam. They're not a Gertoshev unless they accept these mitzvahs, not just because they were, you know, speculating on a mountain and these are the ethical things that they came up with on their own, but they realize this is what Hashem, the God of the Jewish people, when it chose the Jewish people, wanted them to do. But the bottom line is they're not keeping 613 mitzvahs. We can't count them for a minyan. Typically, we just assume they're good non-Jews. But they're still non-Jews. Says Rabbi Yonah Gershom, it's true that they're not fully Jewish, but it is some kind of a mixas geirus. And just as an aside, it's a fascinating bir halacha. It really could be a shir in its own right. The bir halacha says when they have this acceptance, and maybe he's assuming there is a formal process, they can accept other mitzvahs. And if they accept other mitzvahs, they become obligated in them. Yeah, it's really fascinating. So let's say, shatnas. They're going to take shatnas. We'll take shatnas for 100. Yeah.
They can pick and choose.
Huh? I guess that's true. That's fair. That's a fair point. Right. But other things they could take.
To where they take a mitzvah and they don't do it in the
Beira? Yes, they become obligated in it, he says. Yes, yes. And that is very interesting. But yeah, it's a chiddush. It's a chiddush. But again, I just pointing it out to illustrate that obviously, if that's an extreme, that shows that there's some kind of a geirus happening. Rabbeinu Gershom does not have to say that. But it's taking Rabbeinu Gershom to the nth degree, that there is really is a geirus. The point for us is, again, you see the notion against Rabbi Chanan's assumption, because typically that's not right, just to make it clear. The non-Jew was obligated in the Shev Mitzvahs before he became a Ger Toshav. He's not obligated in eight after that. Leave aside his Ber Halacha. So there's no extra mitzvos. And yet the Rabbeinu Gershom still says that there is a mitzvahs Ger. I just want to point out that all of this, I think, the reason I'm saying that this is against Rabbi Chanan, I am not saying it's against the Ramban that we started with. Because the Ramban does not say this more global theory that you see from Avraham, that Geirus equals extra mitzvos. The Ramban just says that the Mila made Avraham a Ger. The Rabbi Chanan has this more extrapolated theory, which I think is vulnerable to these questions. The Ramban could be defended because, it's a much more limited Chiddush, and therefore I think it's easier to defend, and that is that we could just assume that Avraham, to the extent that we talk about a meaningful difference between quote-unquote Jew and non-Jew, so what the Ramban is saying is that that was accomplished in Avraham's time by the Mila, because that was what literally, very literally and figuratively even, separated him from everyone else. Mila changed his status. Yishmael had a status.
As a Yid?
Again, the concept of Jew does not apply to anybody, but he had a and the truth is it may relate even, again, had Yishmael been a nice boy, who knows what would have happened?
He was
the base Avram Avinu. Again, the Pasuk in our parasha tells us that anyone who's Nizera Avram, the base Avram, has to have one. But again, Avraham doing it, why he did it with the other beliefs that he had, that's the Ramban, yeah. Oh, that's not, if we have time, I want to get to it. Yes, yeah, the last part of the shir, if we have time for, is to discuss the two types of mila. Yeah, I don't know if we'll have a chance to get to it, but I wanted to mention that. Actually, I take it back. Let's mention it right now. I can't see my clock. The clock's mine. Okay, 10 minutes. Okay. As you correctly intuit, unlike what you were saying, though, but you were getting to the right point, the Ramban in this Rabbi Kivega, he's clearly assuming that Avraham's Mila was a Milas Gerim. It may have also accomplished the Milas Mitzvah, but it was essentially a Milas Gerim. And the truth is the Gemara Chagiga and Daf Gimel that says that Avraham was Tchilas Gerim. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. And Tosus there says, because he focuses his explanation of what that means very much on Mila. The Rav Meir Dan Plotsky, the author of the Kli Chemda, has another sefer which we sometimes quote called the Chemdas Yisrael, where he does a lot of these topics. And he there also has a deal that he thinks that the Rambam agrees as well, that Avram's Mila was a Milas Gerim. However, the Mishnah Lamelech and his Parshas Drachim, which is one of the, again, the famous Maramakomos, where he discusses all of these issues of Avos, Koda, Matan, Torah, so he has a different idea. He says that it was really a Milas Yisrael, so to speak, or Milas Mitzvah. So when did Avram become that? He says Kishanesh. I'm not sure exactly what that means. I don't have a chance to really look at it too much inside. But this is apparently what he says.
This extra new status.
In other words, unless you, again, if you don't assume it was the Mila, presumably it was something else. So the assumption seems to be there was some kind of a Misa. So that was that Misa, so to speak, declared him in this new status. I guess, right. As Chazal say, right. Could be. What mitzvos? This is pre-Matan Torah. Again, I don't want, there's no reason to assume, certainly not in a halakhic context, the literal truth of any of those midrashim. I don't know. It's impossible to know, frankly. And again, just to give you an essence of, and I'm certainly not throwing, quote unquote, the baby out of that water, I mentioned at the beginning of the year, the Rambam, who in Mor Nebuchadnezzar, for example, famously, derides people who take these midrashim literally. The Rambam in Mishneh Torah, of all places, quotes the midrashim of Avram at 40 being Makir Boro. Now, it's worth noting, he doesn't quote the ones at 3. It's a lot more believable rationally to imagine him doing it at 40 than at 3. So maybe it's not a coincidence that that's the midrashim that Rambam takes. But the bottom line is, the Rambam, obviously, if he's putting those Mishneh Torah, he believes those as literal historical truths. That's clear to me. So, and the Rambam, even if you're careful in Mor Nebuchadnezzar, Chas v'Shalom, people sometimes misinterpret that Rambam. He's not saying that none of them are true. or literal. His point is that they're not all, and the more unlikely they are, the more, what does that mean to say Avram wrote a shas? I don't even know what the words mean. Again, it's the same thing when we talk about the Yeshiva Shem Einver. Again, maybe there are better explanations, and hopefully one day, maybe soon, I'll be, and I'm not being facetious or condescending, maybe I'll one day myself be zocha to be maven them. I don't understand them, frankly. What does that mean to say?
24 parakim and avodah zarah.
Yeah, I don't know what that means. I just don't know what it means. I'm not saying that no one knows what it means. I don't know what it means. So you can't bound the Ramban to one of those midrash. These mafarshim, for better or for worse, they have to stand on their own, without those mafarshim. Yeah, Louis.
I could almost say that I once heard on a tape from Rabbi Yehuda Noah.
Okay.
That is when he spilled his zera, from where was he commanded to not to do such an avera by
Right.
The answer is because the Sith was told him that. So he comes out that is when in Yoshua, when it says that everybody was Le'enei Hashem, I mean, when Hayosher,
Ishbiyosher, yeah. Right, well, and the truth is, Yashur is a term that is very much used with Avram. So maybe there's a lot of, again, I'm overlapping on these topics, but I really don't want to focus on them because they're huge and they're very difficult. Yeah.
I know we're focusing on the how, but really the sense is why. What difference does it make if Avram was gay or not? I mean, philosophically, Chazal seems to have a problem with it, but the overriding question is, okay, so he wasn't.
It doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me either.
So
I don't know. It's a good question. It's a fair point. But again, but Joel's question is, why do we need to say that?
He's the first gear, then we have to look at the way he.
No, but again, Joel's point, which is, I was implying it, but he said it was. Calls a lumberly. What do we need it for? What do we bother? I'm not sure. This is Rav Aaron Lichtenstein always likes to mention, that the model for Anivus is, of all people we mentioned before, Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Sometimes in his Tshuvas, again, who's more genius than Rabbi Akiva Eiger? Sometimes he didn't understand something. He very often would end the Tshuvas with Hashem Yairis Einai. So I say, we should all say the same thing here. There's a lot we don't understand. Mirza Shem, either this year or another context, hopefully we will understand it. I have a few minutes left. I want to mention something that I hope I actually understand more. If we get back to some chillin' and potatoes, some meat and potatoes, which is relevant to this idea of Milas Gerim, which we're talking about. So just to use this as a springboard to mention the fact that, generally speaking, Avraham, the Talmidim, his children, and the spiritual heirs of all of them, every ger to the very day, the status of Mila for Gerim is itself questionable. For those who are interested in more in detail, it's a chapter, it's a simon in my sefer, and I just want to give you some of the highlights of that discussion. Midaraisa, originally, Gerus, especially for men, involved three things. Mila, bringing a karbon, and tefillah b'mikvah. So the Gemara says that we can't do even, there's a pasuk that says there will always be Gerus. So therefore, obviously, if there's a korban, it must mean that when there's a korban, you don't need the korban. But mila and tfila, you certainly need. It's worth noting that in the Gemara, even though it's implied, it's not obvious that one of the maisa geiros is kabbalas mitzvos. And in fact, more potentially controversially, is that if you take a look in the Rambam in Hilchos Issuri Bia, he seems to very much downplay, if not ignore, kabbalas mitzvos. So incredibly, potentially explosive and controversial. Huge discussions have been written. For those who are interested, there's a lot that's on this. There's a sefer that was written when the Rav turned 80 years old called Kavod HaRav, and one of the pieces that was written there was by his brother of Aaron Soloveitchik Zatzal, who discusses that Rambam, the Rav himself and his famous Hashkafic essay Kol Di Dofek, has a very lomdusha footnote where he quotes from his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, also about the topic of Chaim David Alevi's tshuvas, Rav Chaim Ozra's tshuvas, a lot of discussion, and there certainly are some kulas that some very legitimate poskim use because of that, because obviously we know not all gerim are people who go through gerus, let's put it that way, are always the biggest tzaddikim, unfortunately, and sometimes it really does call into question whether it was a real geiris or not. There's a Ritva, Rav Moshe Chevroni, the great Chevron Rosh Hashiva and Masas Moshe in Masech Tuxubis, has a hava mina that perhaps b'dyevid you could have it be a geir, at least according to the Rambam, be a geir without kabbalas mitzvos, which, for example, the Rav says is simply impossible. He's scandalized even by the thought. But there were real people who at least raised that as, at least in the Beis Medrash, as theoretical possibilities. One thing everyone discusses and knows is certainly part of Geirus, in a sense, and this is what I want to spend two more minutes telling you what sense it is the question of Mila. By which I mean as follows. Everyone holds that the Maisa Geirus, or I remember when I was working on this piece, I was living in Riverdale and I did a lot of the work at night in the Telzer Yeshiva. So when I'd be talking to the guys, I remember they kept on saying, what shafts the Geirus? So I'll bring myself back a few years. What shafts? Shaf, I guess with an SH. What creates the geirus? So everyone holds that going to the mikvah, certainly for a woman, that's all she's doing. That certainly is what shafts the geirus. The question is, when it comes to a man, what role does mila play? And there's two possibilities. One possibility is that it's a two-part process, whether one is 50% and one is 50%, right? It's like a partnership, whether it's an equal partnership or an unequal partnership, but mila gives you X percent, and tefillah closes the deal and gives you the second X percent. And it's part of the Maisa Geirus. However, among others, for example, the Rav Yosef Engel in the Gilyani HaShas, as well as the Zeicha Yitzchak, Rav Itzel Miponovich, very famously in Siman Gimel as an essay in the Zeicha Yitzchak, they suggested an alternative possibility, that perhaps Geirus is not part of, Mila is not part of the Maisa Geirus, perhaps it's what they call Hasaras Hamoneya. You can't become a ger if you have an erla. That's a psul. It's a ma'akev of the gerus, I should say. So you have to first get rid of the erla. You have to first get rid of that. And then you are possibly omeid to becoming a ger. But what shafts 100% of the gerus? The tefillah. So we're running a little bit late. I just mentioned to you, just to illustrate without giving you... So the whole discussion about Shevet Levi, did they need a second... I'm not going to have time to give you all the marmakomas, but I'll just give you four or five of the issues just that are illustrative of this. Number one is, as a machlokas rishonim, can you reverse the order? Can you do mila after tefillah? That's one famous issue that could be related to this. A second very obvious nafkamina would be, a machlokas rishonim, does mila need to be in front of a bezdin? Geirus, the Gemara says, has to be bifnei shlosha, needs a bezdin. Which part of Geirus? It's not at all, the Gemara doesn't say. So there's a huge machlokas rishonim, kabbalas mitzvos, tefillah, mila, but you have opinions on all sides, and there's certainly for our purposes a machlokas whether mila needs to be in front of a bezdin or not. That's number a second issue that may be relevant. A third issue I mentioned, what Joel said before, is the issue of what was the status in Dor HaMidbar. We know that when the Jews were leaving Egypt, they had a mila, but Chazal tell us, and the Rambam quotes the halacha that Shevet Levi did not need one. Why not? That's a discussion. And finally, I'll give you two more. One is if a ger was already circumcised. So does he need hatafas dambris? So you're all assuming the answer is yes, because halacha l'maaseh we paskin yes, but that's not so pashut. And finally, just to give you a real sensitive one, hardama klalit. Could an adult who comes to ger have his circumcision under general anesthetic? Hardama klalit. The Sri Deish is the first one to ask the shaila. And he has a huge machlokas with Rav Dain Grossness, who was the head of the Besdin in London, the Lev Aryeh, and in fact, Rav Gedalia Felder Zatzal, the grandfather-in-law of Sam Sperling et al., the other sons-in-law here for the great Rav of Toronto. He sides with Dain Grossness there. They have a huge discussion. Is it theoretically possible? I don't know if it happens so commonly. Local anesthetic, even the Shri Aish allows. But the Shri Aish thinks that you have to be awake. Because he says, just and this will close, he's explicit. The Lashon, you don't have to guess, the Lashon is very explicit in the Sri Aish. With the Mila, you're being Nichnas Tachas Kafei Shechina. And the stomach, you have to have Kavana for that. So if you're sleeping, how are you doing that? But Dain Grossness and Rav Felder say, what are you talking about? You're being Nichnas Tachas Kafei Shechina with the Tvila. The Mila is just to make sure that you're right for that. And therefore, you don't need to be awake. So, there was more to talk about, but we went through it very quickly. At least four or five issues, all of which hinge around this question of to what extent is the role of Mila central to the creation of the Geirus, to what extent is it just a preparatory stage. Yeah.